Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, June 12th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible Studies. Our study will be about 45-minute and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue our study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Let's begin with a prayer. Holy, merciful Father in heaven, we again come before Thee to thank Thee with this privilege that we have in sharing thy word. We pray that it may be done faithfulness. Father, thy word is the source of all truth. Thy word is thy gift to man, so that we may know of the abundant life that you give to all who heartfully ask. Father, we ask for thy blessings again as we continue in our study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me see where we're at here, the book of Matthew. Okay, I know we left off, we were looking a little bit at the beginning of Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. So we'll start there. And I know we looked at foxes, and we'll be picking up really looking at the birds of the air. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart onto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Now, of course, he's talking about the spiritually dead, and we're going to look a little bit about that in a minute. Last week, we did look at the word foxes, and let me just take a quick look at what we have looked at there. Okay, the foxes identify with prophets are like foxes in the desert. Of course, that would be a false prophet, a false teacher, and so on, a false Christian. Now, they have holes, the Lord says. They have a place to live. And the birds of the air, they have nests. And a little later on, we're going to look at a parable concerning the birds of the air. But we're going to look a little bit at it right now. And the birds identifying also with Satan or false prophets and false teachers. We read in Matthew 13:4, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And when we compare this to verse 18 in Matthew 13, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth it away, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And in Mark 4, verse 15, we read, These are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan come immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now again, we're going to look a little more on this particular parable where the sower goes out to sow and so on. And we're going to discover later on this picture of the bird. And the bird is a fowl in this case. The Greek word that is focusing in is identifying with a fowl, which is a bird and it flies. And that flying gives a sort of a picture, spiritually speaking, of flying through the midst of heaven, which identifying is doing something in the air, which we're going to see. And the air is a place of conversation, which, again, we're going to look at that in a few minutes. But we'll get deeper into those details when we get to those verses a little later on in Matthew. But so the birds are identifying with the fowls. There are sparrows that has a different focus, a different identity, but these particular birds is identifying with the fowls of the air. Now, the air, I've mentioned this before, is a place of conversation, a place of communion. For 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, we read, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both Father and the Son." Now, the word air identifies, of course, with the things that we breathe in and out. We do it unconsciously to blow, to bring in, and to bring out air. Of course, it feeds the body, gives us oxygen. And if there is sound, because the sound, you can't have air without sound, and air is really that vehicle that is used to bring the sound. One might speak, for instance, and it would go through the air and then into the ear, and of course the eardrum picks up the vibration, and the brain works that out for communications. And that is what is really in view here. It's, the birds of the air, the fowls of the air, the fowls that have the place of conversations, the false prophets, the false teachers, bringing forth a false message, another Jesus. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Okay, so we see this picture here, the prince and power of the air, which is the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. That spirit is the unholy spirit. It is the spirit of Antichrist. And it goes on, "among whom also we all had our conversations." That kind of identifies the idea that this is really bringing a picture of conversation in. And so again, air is identifying with the place of communion, the conversation. You know, we get into the end of the gospel and we see some of the pictures. We're going to see let me think about if this is in Matthew. I think it is in Matthew, yes, and Mark and Luke. It might be in all three, where God speaks about calling us up. It's the idea of what we may call, to be taken up. Okay, to be lifted up. For the rapture is a word that we use, which is not a biblical word, but it identifies with what we're talking about, the rapture. So where God tells us that, we'll be caught up into the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be. So to meet the air in the Lord is the to meet the Lord in the air is the picture in being in communion with God. Acts chapter 22, we read in verse 22, "And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such fella from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air." Now, dust is an interesting picture, because we know that when we go back into Genesis, the Lord said to the devil, to the Satan, that he'd crawl on his belly, and his food would be the dust of the earth. And most of the dust, I think it's 50 or 60. Matter of fact, I think it's greater than that. I don't remember exactly. We'll probably get into that word a little later, and we'll get this more accurate number on this. But it's definitely over 50% of dust really comes from the skin. We're constantly, skin is being brushed off of our body. And, of course, new skin is constantly growing. And I heard that we replace our skin every 7 years. But I also heard from some other source that it's less than that. But whatever that may be, the point is the dust. And the skin is the dead flesh, and it identifies with the food of Satan. And now the dust is in the air. It brings the conversation to a place, again, which is the food, because dust is the food of Satan, spiritually speaking. So it is the food that is in the air, the food of Satan. So, but they cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air. Now this is, I believe, this is when they were wanted to kill Paul, if I recall. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth into the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Okay, so this idea again is beaten in the air. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth into the air. In other words, fight in the air is really kind of a picture, and really getting nothing done at that point in time to beat it in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, and here's the verses I was talking about, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the chief messenger or the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, in the place of conversation, to be in communion with Christ eternally at that point, to meet the Lord in the air. And in this fashion shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, so the air is the place of conversation, the place of communication. Okay, maybe fix that. Okay. Okay, so let me read this, go back, just read this again. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. So again, pictures of Satan in both cases, the foxes and the birds. In this case, it's fowls, that particular bird, which is a fowl, an unclean bird. And again, the air is a place of conversation. And they have nests. And where are the nests? It's nests in the trees. And we'll see another parable a little later concerning that, where the birds come and nest in the trees. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Okay, let's look at this idea of being spiritually dead, because that's what is in view here. To be spiritually minded is to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do we spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain that cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay, there's a lot of spiritual words here, spiritual pictures here, and, you know, at least when we were going through Revelation, we probably picked up on a lot of these words. We're not going to spend time going through a lot of these things. But clearly, it is all identifying with bringing the gospel, you know, bringing the word of God, and speaks about God's ways not being our ways. In Romans chapter 8, we read in verses 1 through 9, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin to the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now we've spoken about the two spirits. There is really only two spirits, even though we read in places of seven spirits and various places. But and of course that is just identifying with the perfection of whatever God has in view. But there's the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of Antichrist. And the key here is to be godly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And the peace ultimately is peace with God and peace one with another, of course. So again, there is the picture of being spiritually minded. We must be spiritually minded. And Christ is speaking to this individual. Let the dead bury the dead, meaning the spiritually minded dead. And I think what's really in view, it's not that, you know, his father died and you know, he needs to bury him, and Christ is not giving him the day to bury his father, and he, you know, come follow me, or let the dead bury the dead. But I think really the picture that is in view, that his father is aged. And at some point is maybe near to death. Could be next week, could be next month, but it could be next year or so on and so forth. So it's really an excuse. I think that's probably the picture that's in view back in Matthew. But let's look on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 3, 1 through 7. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, I was listening recently about people talking about different things and relating it to the Bible. And for instance, I heard someone just recently talk about the strong delusion that God, that was going to come onto the whole earth. And there was just one piece of scripture, just a couple of words that this individual quoted out, and then claimed that these so-called aliens, or whatever they may be, that's up there in the heavens, that we see things happening up there, as if that's the strong delusion. And so therefore there is a cardinal interpretation, a cardinal understanding of God's word. They're not spiritually minded, but cardinally minded. And I hear these kind of things all the time, you know. And it's exposed mostly in the book of Revelation when they try to quote things in Revelation and they look at it in an earthly way, a fleshly way. They're not looking at it spiritually and understanding it spiritually. And they do the same thing, unfortunately, to people that are, you know, cardinally minded. They interpret all the scripture that way. You know, they read the parables and many other things. They're not seeing the spiritual picture. And God says because they're spiritually blind. And that's why he brings forth parables. That's why he speaks in parables. And the Bible says, without a parable, speaks he not. So again, this picture of being spiritually minded or being cardinally minded is really the key to seeing when someone's claiming to bring the truth. You'll constantly see a lot of pictures that are earthly minded and not spiritually minded, not using scripture line upon line, precept upon precept, in order to come to an understanding and an appreciation of whatever the truth is that God is teaching us. Okay, so let's pick this back up. Let me just step back a little bit on this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, you see, that point there, you know, that confused me for quite some time. And the spiritually discerned is the fact that we are discerning them spiritually, that they are looking at things cardinally. And that is what I believe God has in view here in this particular scripture. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We are discerning them spiritually and see that they're bringing forth foolishness. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So God tells us we ought to judge people that way. Not that we are necessarily to say anything directly in that fashion, but to understand how, if this person is earthly minded, cardinally minded, and we know that, then we understand how we should bring the gospel to that person. And they may be claiming that they have the gospel. We have to pray for wisdom on how we might respond to an individual who believes that they're bringing the gospel when, in fact, it's a private gospel. It's a private interpretation. It's an earthly-minded conclusion and not spiritually-minded. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? And the mind of the Lord is found between the books of Genesis and Revelation. But we have the mind of Christ, Genesis to Revelation. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto cardinal, even as unto the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, the meat of the word. And everybody begins off that way, of course, being fed with the milk. We begin cardinal. Because that's what we relate to the world, cardinally minded. But of course, the Spirit of God moves in us and gives us wisdom and understanding, and we start to look at things spiritually. For ye are yet cardinal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not cardinal and walk as men? So if you're seeing that kind of thing going on, people claiming to be of Christ, and these are the things that are actually happening in the midst of them, it's a good clue that there's a problem there. And if we have the opportunity to witness to these people, again, we need to pray for wisdom to discern them, number one, and how to respond to them, number two. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, and I hear this all the time, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. 1 Peter chapter 12, verse 2 to 5. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom? Amen. Sorry about that. Gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am caught and sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I do, I now allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is to say, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the mind of my, against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, over the flesh, the law of sin. Okay, and we serve the law of sin by ultimately crucifying the flesh, mortifying the flesh. And those are the words that God uses. And, you know, again, we have to be very, very careful with this. When you really read the Bible, you start to realize that all sin is really in the mind. Yeah, you know, it could be expressed in a fleshly way, in a physical way. But ultimately, it's in the mind. And we may conquer the fleshly sins to some degree or to a major degree, you know, as far as the way we lived our life before we became saved. And but what we have to be very careful of is to realize that the mind wanders. And we sin a lot more than we realize in the mind. As Christ said, you even look at a woman in lust, you already committed adultery. So that's how serious it is, and really that's what I think is being Paul is speaking about here in Romans chapter 7. You know, a wretched man that I am, because we're in constant state of repentance. We're in constant state, the littlest things, all of a sudden we start to realize is a problem in our mind. You know, and again, depending on the life we lived prior to becoming coming to the Lord, we've got all these bad habits. And they're constantly plaguing us, and we're constantly praying to God, you know, in order to take these things away from us, to give us the strength. And we read his word, and he tells us, keep our eyes single. Don't look at the world, look at Christ. Don't look at the world and Christ, look at Christ. But when we find ourselves looking into the world, then immediately we need to turn to Christ and put our eyes on the cross. And we will forget the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things that we may be, you know, focused out to because of habit from a past life, so to speak. Okay, parables. Thinking about spiritually minded and looking at the spiritual things. So a parable, of course, is a similitude, a figure, a parable, a proverb. A profound truth is cloaked, a mystery. Psalms 78, verse 1 to 2. Give ear, O my people, to my Lord. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Psalms 49, 3 through 5. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. And of course, this is speaking of Christ, Christ coming. The Psalms, ultimately, the prayers of Christ. You know, I'm embarking on a, well, just first of all, just to read through Psalms, and it's a long book. And then my plan is to embark on a study in Psalms and realize that the Psalms really is the Psalms of David. Which, of course, he is figurative of Christ, and it's the Psalms of Christ. And we can see how this identifies with Christ. It says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And, of course, Jesus Christ is doing that. And we're hearing those things coming out of a mouth in parable from Christ as we're looking into the book of Matthew. And many things, the dark sayings of old are being opened up to us as we go through God's word. Psalm 49, 3-5. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. Again, he is Christ. And the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ears to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. And the harp is identifying with the word of God, by the way. You know, there's that saying, you know, when you're trying to tell somebody some correction, talk about focusing on moral things or whatever, or even just talking about the Bible and talking about Christ and witnessing. And there's a saying out there, stop harping on me, you know. And I think that's really an interesting statement that people might say, because it does bring us right back to the word, the harp. We saw in the book of Revelations the body of Christ going out onto the sea of glass with harps. And the harp, of course, is bringing the gospel to the world. The sea of glass is identifying with the world. The sea identifies with the world to sink down into that sea, identifies, of course, sinking down into the depths of hell. And that's a picture of the body of Christ going out into the world, bringing the gospel after the great apostasia. Okay, so I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the word of God. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? Of course, he's focusing in on the cross at that point. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Matthew 13, verses 34 to 35. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. So whenever he was out bringing and talking to the multitudes, he always spoke in parables. His life was a historical parable. You know, I'm not sure whether we covered this before, when the picture of Christ, walking on the water is the ability that he can walk in the world without and not sink into the depths of hell and bring the gospel. And, of course, we're unable to do that until the end days, of course, after the great apostasia comes upon the world. And then, of course, God gives us the ability to go out into the world to bring the gospel without a ship, that is, without a church, just bring in the gospel. So again, there's historical parables, and historical parables throughout the whole Bible. I mean, and it's amazing. Every step of Christ can be seen as a parable. Every healing can be seen as a parable. The healing of a blind man is identifying with the blindness of our spiritual blindness. The ability to give the man a withered man, the withered hand, a man with a withered hand, the ability to stretch forth his hand, and now he can stretch forth his hand, spiritually speaking, to eat off the tree of life. As we're told in Genesis, lest man reaches forth and eat off the tree of life. So everything is a parable. Historical parables, verbal parables. Now I think we might be able to say, and we're going to test this as we go on a little bit, because I haven't looked at it from this perspective. I think we're going to be able to test that there may be some times, particularly when God is speaking to the disciples, that he is speaking plainly without the parable. Matter of fact, there was one point, and I think it's in Matthew, where one of the disciples said, "Speak unto us plainly, Lord, you know, without a parable, speak unto us plainly." Okay, so Matthew 13:9-18. Who hath the ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, oh, right here, and I didn't realize we're coming right up to that verse, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they, seeing not, and hearing, and hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And this, of course, identifies with today, too. Again, you know, the gospel is preached into churches, and it falls upon the ears of the individuals, and some of them are carnally minded, and they're not hearing, spiritually speaking, they're not responding, spiritually speaking, but then, of course, and they're not seeing. So they're not seeing, they're not hearing. But for those who is God's elect, God is speaking to, and their ears are open, their eyes are open, they are hearing, they are seeing. And yet, you know, we speak the word of God by bringing the gospel, and it falls on two sets of ears, and two sets of understanding. One seeing it carnally minded, another seeing it spiritually minded. And to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded, that is life. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they see. Hear. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Now he goes on to teach about that. Later on we'll read about that in Matthew, and also in Mark he goes on to teach. Mark 4:33-34. And when many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. And remember, you know, we're weaned from the breast, or drawn from the breast, and at some point in time we start to eat the meat, the solid food, which is the spiritual things that God brings. But until then, you know, we start off nursing off the mother, which is the body of Christ, the mother of us all ultimately. which nourishes us with the milk of the word and feeds us with the meat of the word, and then we're able to understand the spiritual things. So in many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, God, he expounded all things to his disciples. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 14 through 22. If my people, this is Chronicles, isn't it? Yeah, it's not Corinthians, it's Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto the land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on the other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Okay, and again, you know, with these parables, you know, we are nourished, as I mentioned, you know, we're nourished by the milk of the word. Eventually, you get a little piece of meat here. You know, as the Bible starts opening up to us, as the parables, the spiritual things, the understandings, it always starts a little bit. And, you know, I have no idea how many times I've read through the Gospels and been through so many places in the Bible. And every time I go through, I get a little more understanding. But I remember in the beginning when I started, I understood only a little bit here or there. You know, just a morsel here and a morsel there. Many mysteries, many things I didn't understand. But again, as you continue to spend more and more time, just as faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God, our understanding becomes greater as we continue to, you know, continue in God's Word and to go through things over and over and over again. I've spent a tremendous amount of time in the Gospels and over and over. And again, every time I read through it, I find something new, something expounded, another spiritual picture or a spiritual understanding, or even an appreciation in the way that I should walk. 1 Corinthians 10, 1-5, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, under the cloud is identifying ultimately with being under the hearing, because the cloud is the cloud of witnesses that identifies with the prophets, the teachers, and so on, those who are bringing the gospel. You know, our fathers were under the cloud. They were under the teaching of the prophets. And all passed through the sea. We all came through the world. We all came as men first. You know, God tells us that in order to be a son of God, we must first become a son of man. And at some point, of course, you know, then we become sons of God if we do become born again. You know, as he says, to which of the angels has he called son? What is man that he is mindful of him? And did all eat the same spiritual meat? Again, that brings us That brings us to the Word of God, the same spiritual meat, which is the gospel. You know, the gospel is always the same. The penalty of sin is death. The death that God has in view is hell eternal. And we look for the Savior, the sacrifice, the forgiveness, which gives us the forgiveness of sins. And all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, that is Christ. They drank of Christ, His Word. The rock is the Word. The rock is Christ. And the Word, of course, is the water. It's the living water. So they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Romans chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests. And of course, this is Paul speaking about the church, the people of the church. Making request if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, which is, brings us to the understanding of the Word of God, to the end ye may be established, become born again. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And that mutual faith is the faith of Christ. Christ is our faith. It's not our faith. It's the faith of Christ that saves us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 5 through 11. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. And by that, by the way, the idea of perfect is identifying with us in the Spirit. And it is Christ that is perfect. It is Christ that lives in our hearts, in our soul. Create in me a new heart, O Lord. Renew the right spirit in me. The Holy Spirit, Christ, seated with us in heavenly places, in our souls, in our hearts, which identifies with a focus on life, where the heart is. And so let me reread that. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Be ye perfect, even as the Father is perfect. Of course, in the flesh, that's an impossibility. But in the Spirit, it certainly is for anybody who's born again. For the Spirit wars against the flesh and crucifies the flesh. And it is Christ ruling and reigning over our flesh together with Christ, figuratively 1,000 years. And that, of course, is what is meant in the book of Revelation. And yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden mystery, hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For that man knoweth, For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So, of course, that's the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Okay, the last verses in this particular spiritual minded. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the wiles of the devil is abundantly around us these days. We're at the ends of the world, the great apostasia. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's the high places, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. First and foremost, that is identifying in the churches, but it also identifies in the world too, prince and power of the air, which is Satan. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And the truth is God's word. It brings us right back to the gospel. It's the word of God. Having on the breastplates of righteousness. And who is our breastplate? Christ is our breastplate. He is our righteousness. And your feet trod with preparation of the gospel of peace. And of course, that is again back to the word of God. Taking the shield of faith. Whose faith? Christ's faith. Christ is the word. He's the one that gives us faith. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing from the word of God. If you want more faith, spend more time in the Bible. The more time you spend in the Bible, the greater and stronger your faith grows. The least you spend time, then of course you don't have great faith. You don't, doesn't mean that you may not have saving faith. You know, God speaks about the poor, and all of us really are poor. Christ is the only rich one. But we're all poor, but some people are poorer than others. You know, and again, it identifies with faith. And when people say, you know, I wish I had faith like this or like that, I wish I could have faith, well, the answer to them is very simple. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. You're not reading your Bible. Get into the Bible. Now, pray to God for wisdom and understanding. Ask Him for mercy. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand through God's Word. And the richness of God's Word has never been greater in the world than it is today. You know, the Bible is the number one book. It's everywhere. And it's very cheap. I mean, I buy Bibles all the time, you know, for $5-6 a piece, and they're pretty decent Bibles, you know. I mean, you spend more money, maybe $20-30 for a really, you know, study Bible or something. And actually, some people will sell that for hundreds of dollars. And that, to me, is a violation of God's Word. Freely ye have been given, freely give. So we should only be... You know, if you're going to be selling a Bible, you need to be selling it for cost of maybe a few bucks to make a living, and that's about it, not to make a killing, you know. Stand therefore. Okay, so we take on the shield of faith, which is Christ. It's faith to faith, Christ faith. It's the faith once delivered unto all through the disciples and passed down, same faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They'll have no effect on you. Take on the helmet, the knowledge of your salvation, and the sword of the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all the saints. Okay, so spiritually minded. We must be spiritually minded. Again, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. And that, of course, is the key. Well, it's taking a while to close, huh? There it goes. Okay, so let's just take a quick look back at these group of verses we're looking at. And starting in 18, reading it through 22. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, knowing his heart, the foxes have holes, you know, he's not really interested, and the birds of the air have nests. Excuse me. And the birds of the air have nests, place of conversation, the fowls, the false prophets, false teachers, the foxes, the birds. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You know, when the Bible is saying here, another one of his disciples, you know, that suggests to me that an individual that may not necessarily be born again, but is young and working towards that process, or is born again and is still learning, because we're all learning. So in any event, the individual that is in focus is the question or the point that I'm trying to bring up. I'm not sure exactly. We know that the rich young ruler that came and when the rich young Lulites, I don't think we covered that yet. If we haven't, we'll be getting to it. When the rich young ruler came to Christ and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Lord went through a series of things, and the ruler says, "All these things I've been doing since birth." And then the Lord said, "But you lack one thing, okay?" And it was a rich guy. "Sell all your goods, give it to the poor, pick up your cross, follow me." I think he said, "Pick up your cross." I don't remember. "Follow me." And he went away sad. But we can know that that individual became born again, because the first thing that the Bible records, and it may be just in one of the Gospels, this particular incident is recorded in two, maybe three places in the Bible. One of the places is said when the man came to him and spoke to Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus loved him. That means he became born again. Because if God puts forth his love for you, to you, he is faithful to complete the work that he started. And so he loved him. And he loved us before we became born again. He loved us before we even became born into this sin cursed world. He loved us from before the foundation of the world. He knew us before then. And Jesus saith to them, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air, they have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." And another of his disciples said unto the Lord, "Suffer me to go and bury my Father." But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, let the dead bury the dead." And I perceive that's what happened. He followed him, and let the dead bury the dead. Okay, well, it's 8:28, so we're going to end that. We'll pick up next week in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. I don't see anybody's hand up, so I presume we have no questions or comments or corrections at the moment. So with that, we're going to end our study.
John.
Go ahead, Tim.
I have a question or whatever. Did you ever experience what it was when you were reading that passage about how, I guess it was the Apostle Paul, he was saying the things that he would do, that he would desire to do, implying to be remaining in the faith, he doesn't do, and those things that he would not do, the things that would be evil or against God or whatever, those things he ends up doing. Did you experience that? It's like something else within us overpowers us. You experience that?
Well, absolutely. Because we're all sinners, and if we think we've come to the point, if we confess not that we're sinners, the truth is not in us. We're liars, the Bible tells us. I know of people who have become born again and say they don't sin no more. There's a particular church out there, which I won't mention particularly which one it is, but they teach people that you become born again, you become pure, and you're not a sinner no more. That's an impossibility, and that's against the Bible. The Bible is clear. And Paul has given us an example. Paul was a great man, you know. I mean, he really suffered a lot for Christ. I don't know how many times he was killed. He was killed numerous times. We'll look at some of those verses in the near future, maybe. I'll make a note. Maybe we'll read some of those verses next week. Matter of fact, I think we will. But Paul was killed numerous times. He was left for dead, and God put the Spirit back in him and stood up, went on his way, and went to the next place to preach the gospel. And so he was building the churches, of course, of Asia, the seven churches that we read about. He was out there seeding those churches, while, of course, we have the disciples. Most of the disciples, of course, were feeding the Jews, going through the synagogues and so on and so forth. Peter was the leader of that particular part, and Paul was the leader going out into the Gentiles, into Asia. And back in those days, Asia really had almost most of the population of the world. So that was going out into the world in that day, figuratively, literally speaking. And even today, there's not a nation in the planet that doesn't have the gospel somewhere within it. So it's out there. But as far as the struggle that Paul went through, we all go through that. And when you have victory over sins, one after another, and it takes time, depending on the individual, But you have victory over sins. And as time goes on, you start to realize, well, I'm not participating with that anymore. Well, I'm not participating with that anymore. And your eyes are focused on Christ, but they wander. You're still in this world, and you know, you're focused in on some work or whatever's going on. And then, of course, at some point in time, you have a situation, and the sin is in the mind. And as Christ said, you know, if you even look at a woman in lust, you committed adultery. I mean, that's an amazing statement, you know. And so as you continue to grow closer and closer to Christ and more in his word, you start to reveal more and more things that are sins that you never even realize, you know. You may not get angry with someone, but in the mind you might be angry with someone. You may not like somebody because they're a horrible person, but you're polite to them. You try to feed them the gospel. And depending on the relationship maybe you had, there's maybe even a little bit of hatred. You say, oh, wow, I can't have hatred. I need to be praying for them. It's a struggle. Anybody who says they're not struggling in sin is not honest with themselves or not born again. But God opens our eyes and our minds and our ears to these things as we're able to hear them. And we become purer and purer day by day as we come closer and closer to Christ and closer to the end of our life when we then meet Christ, or the end of the world when we then meet Christ. But it's a constant struggle. Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's crucify the flesh, you know, mortify the flesh. Pick up your cross. Bring the gospel. Keep your eyes single. And that keeps us as best that we can. But none of us is going to become perfect. Only Christ is perfect.
But when I hear that passage, what comes to me is kind of exactly what I was saying, that he wasn't making a conscious decision to, and that's what I was asking, whether that was what you experienced, that he wasn't making a conscious
decision.
Just a moment. He wasn't making a conscious decision to sin. It was like something else took over within him. Like the thing he wanted to do, he didn't do it because this other thing took over, made him do something within him, made him do something that he didn't want to do. And the thing that he wanted, that he, what did he say? The contrary, the thing he didn't want to do, it, he wanted to do the good thing, but then this thing took over within him. That's what I understood him to be saying there, that he wasn't consciously sinning.
Absolutely. We're constantly struggling sin. And we constantly, from time to time, if we're at the end of the day, we've got a lot to repent every single day. And most of those problems and most of those sins are because we've etched our mind with these things. We lived in those things in our former life. And they're still in the flesh. The Bible tells us they're still in the flesh. And we read, and I think we're going to look at this next week a little bit about Paul, and we war against the flesh. The spirit wars against the flesh. And so it is a constant problem. At the end of every day, I always talk to the Lord, and you know, maybe I should have been a little kinder here, and maybe I should have done this there, maybe I shouldn't have done that, or my mind wandered here and I fell into sin there. You know, you evaluate every day, and that's talking to the Lord, asking for strength. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us not. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil. That's the Our Father. It's a prayer that we should ultimately be looking at daily. Not literally, we might want to literally say the prayer just to kind of bring the meaning of the words to us. But the point is when we pray to God, we're to pray as our Father. And we're to recognize and realize who he's in heaven. And he's holy. Holy is his name. And that his kingdom is going to come on this earth world, and done, his will is going to be done as it's done in heaven. And we ask him to give us this day as a daily bread. Give us the gospel. Give us, you know, reveal to us our sins. You know, there are sins that as you come up, they get revealed to you, and you didn't even realize they were sins. You know, smoking, for instance, is a situation, at least for me, that was a problem. And thank God I've had victory over that over 25 years now, but it was a major problem. I battled that sin for, goodness, 10, 15 years. Once I realized that it was a sin, it was just a battle. But the thing is, you know, God will reveal these things to us, and little at a time. You know, we're really we're a piece of work. There's a lot of work to be done in all of us, and it's never going to end until we become one with the Lord, and we put off this, literally put off this body, and be caught up into the air with the Lord, and so shall we ever be. But yes, that is the problem. The sin is in the flesh, and sometimes it gets up on us and it catches us without even realizing it, and sometimes we fall into that sin, and then we go back to the daily sacrifice, the daily, which is Christ. He was crucified for our sins. He brings us the forgiveness of sins. He paid for our sins. But the problem with a lot of Christians is they think that they can live in the sin. If you're going to live in sin, you're not born again. And again, you know, a way to see where someone is coming from is to appreciate their understanding of things, either spiritually minded or earthly minded. And that tells us how we should share the gospel. We don't look at that to judge the individual. We look at that to see how we might respond to the individual. Okay, that's all. And pray for, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. That was my condition. That was my situation that I have been saved from. Okay, and we should be open. You know, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. An effective prayer is one that's prayed within the will of God, and God wants us to pray one for another for our sin-sick souls. So the effectual fervent prayer, a fervent prayer is one with great desire. Oh, Lord, please, I pray, save my brother, save this one, save that one. And it means a lot. It availeth much. It means a lot to the Lord. He's using that to bring the gospel. And at least, you know, if we have effectual fervent prayer and God hears our prayers, there's a good likelihood that he's, you know, the point is that's part of his plan to bring the gospel to that person, and us bringing the prayer and the desire that that person may respond and become born again and be forgiven of their sins as we were. So anyway, hopefully that helps, Tim.
Okay, I acknowledge what you or heard what you were saying.
But yeah, the sin is, let me think of it another way. You know, we become, we battle sins, we have victory over sins, but we never end those sins. And it's in the flesh. The flesh wants to fall into the world. And that's why God says, keep your eyes single. Keep it on me. Keep it on the cross. Don't look at the world. He's looking at the world as living in the world. He's looking at Christ as living in Christ. Now, of course, we live in this world and we look into the world in the sense that we do business or whatever the case may be. You know, we have relationships with people, so on and so forth. But we always want to be trying to focus in on Christ as we do those things. You know, we're to walk with God, okay? And walking with God is being conscious of the fact that God is present with us and he's hearing us and he's seeing us and he's with us at all times. And we need to be conscious of that relationship. And the more we are conscious with that fact, with having that relationship with Christ, walking with the Father as we walk through this world, then the less chance we have of falling deeper and deeper into any sins. But anybody who's living in a sin, you know, if you're an adulteress, you know, a fornicator, if you are a thief, if you're living in those sins, it's a mark that you're unsaved. So that's a key point. Thanks. Okay, with that, we're going to end things unless you have another question or point, Tim.
Okay, so wondering, I don't know, for lack of a better word. So, okay, so this is what's happening. This something takes over. You know, let's say if that's really what's happening, something else takes over and then within us and does, as, you know, kind of like against our will, going to pose a question that's going to be kind of a daring question. Are we responsible? You understand how I'm trying to, what I'm trying to ask here? If it's taking over our will.
I think I understand. And we're responsible in, look at, if you are born again and you're really reading your Bible, you're studying, you're trying to do God's will, you're doing the best you can, you're turning from your sins, and you know, we turn from our sins one at a time. We just don't turn from sins. That's you know, but little by little we have victory over this and victory over that. But the thing is, you know, even when we get to the point where we're walking pretty strong with God, the flesh is, we're still in the world. The flesh is still here, and sometimes it kind of catches us without being aware. And next thing we know, we're falling into sin. And we may not even commit that sin. But the falling into the sin, the desire of the sin, is the beginning of that sin. It's sin. Okay? So again, we walk on a very rocky road, so to speak. It's because we're in this world, and sin is the problem. The flesh is the problem. And remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Or I think it's reversed. The flesh, yeah, I think that is the proper way. Spirit first. Spiritually willing, but the flesh is weak. And so again, it's a struggle throughout life. But the point is this. If you fall into that sin and willfully go into that sin and willfully continue in that sin, then you haven't been forgiven of your sins. It's the willfulness. And, you know, the flesh will catch up on you, and you can fall into this, and then you got to repent, and you feel bad, and you go through a process of repentance and you know, confessing your sins to God. So that's really the way of Christian.
What was the last few words, the last phrase, or what were the last kind of few words you said there?
Yeah, well, that's the way of Christian, okay? We will turn from sins. We'll crucify the flesh. We start to fall into sin. And remember, starting to fall into sin, you already sinned, okay? That's the big problem. But if you willfully go into that sin and continue in that sin, okay, then you're not born again yet. Hopefully you're going to become born again. But you have to, you know, you got to get to that point of victory where the will of God is much more desirable than the will of the flesh. And of course, you know, we want to be with the Lord eternally. We don't want to be damned to hell, whatever that is. And so, again, it's a struggle. But again, if we're willfully sinning, it's a whole different story. If we sin, and I talk to Christians about this, to think this, you know, if we sin, well, it's okay, I sin. I've been forgiven. God forgives my sins. He forgives my sins, and he's going to forgive my sins that I'm going to commit. And they willfully continue to sin. And if you listen closely to the people, you'll discover they're carnally minded. They haven't been woken yet. They haven't been raised from the dead, so to speak. So.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
You can pick up on this more if you want next week, and I'm going to look a little bit at Paul. Maybe I'll make a note here. What Paul went through in his life—it's just unbelievable what he went through. Okay. With that, we're going to end our study for tonight. Good night, everyone, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Good night.